Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week, Jordan Jesse Go travels abroad and meets a strange man in a Bangkok bar. Let's go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, I'm not going to bullshit you. In the past, I've told you that I was very excited about our guests. And it was probably a lie. I mean, it may,
a half truth at least.
Yeah, half truth.
Or at the most, I guess.
Most, at best, a half truth. In many cases, a full on lie. And as you know, Jordan, I'm the kind of guy who hates to lie.
Yeah, I can see it on your face when you're saying how excited you are. I see the grimace.
Right.
And the guest might not pick up on it because he probably just thinks you're pooping. But I, as your longtime friend, I see the pain on your face.
And I mean, the thing is if you're a guest and you've been in here, let's say you've been on one time before and I pooped. It's reasonable to, you know, it's understandable that they would assume the next time that if they saw me making a poopy face that I was pooping.
Sure.
And so I don't blame the guests for that.
You've always got that to use as cover.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You're a known pooper.
Right, and I've usually got poop in my poopy pants.
Sure. You're die-die.
but this time around, I don't have to lie.
No.
I'm very excited to have this week's guest on the show. We're talking about a guy who folks know from regular appearances on a little television show called Reno 9/11. We're talking about a guy who folks might know from tomorrow's...
Although I'm sure they wouldn't want you calling it that.
Reno 9/11.
I'm sure the producers of that particular show probably want you to call it Reno 911. Probably want you to say all the numbers.
It's easier to say Reno 9/11. It's a shortcut.
Yeah, it's like there's always that association.
It's like calling Independence Day ID4.
Yeah. But they probably just don't want you to associate the show with 7/11.
Right. I mean, but that's also just a shortcut. It's like a great way to get a refreshment without having to fuck around with a whole line in a whole grocery store.
Well, anyway, we're diverging too much, but I'm just saying if we have to refer to that particular show again, I would just say all the numbers.
Okay, fine. We're talking about a guy who's been a regular on Reno 911.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hal Rudnick, Hal, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me, Jordan, Jesse. And if you are excited, that's wonderful. If you are pooping, I can relate to that. But I am genuinely excited because not only am I a guest, I'm a listener to the show, and I feel like today I've won a listener's contest of some sort. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not sure what I had to come up with.
Bad news. It's win a date with Jordan.
Guess what we're doing? ATVs. ATVs in the desert.
Then it's hot tub time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
And somebody forgot his swimsuit.
Yikes.
And somebody's thumb wants to go in a butt.
You know...
It's mine.
How rare is it, Jordan, that somebody comes on our show that's not just a listener, but has even heard the show before? I get the feeling that a lot of the guests who come in to be on Jordan Jesse Go, and they're wonderful people, many of them are personal friends, think they're showing up to like the set of a commercial for Crest or something. Like that's the level of understanding of what's going on here that they have.
Yeah. I remember Scott Aukerman when he came in, brought a bunch of swords.
Yeah,
I'm like, what do you think's gonna happen, dude?
Yeah, he thought it was a meeting of one of those like old timey clubs.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about,
where an anachronistic society.
You know where the nerds put on their
Renaissance fair.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm thinking about the kind where they put on the outfits from that, but instead of going to a Renaissance fair where people have signed up for it.
They meet in someone's den.
Like fight in a park.
This is where they. This in my one, they walk around the college campus and are like, "Yeah, we're freaking out the normals."
Oh yeah. Okay.
That's the one I'm talking about. And I didn't. I don't mean to pick on you, Hal, because came in the Renaissance garb. That's the last thing that I would mean to.
It's part of our date, Jesse.
Oh, gotcha.
And believe me, I'm used to slings and arrows, and they do not affect me, for I have my shield.
A lot of people don't know that in addition to a podcast and a public radio show and a blog, MaximumFun.org is also working on a new dating show.
Mm-hmm.
All the dates are going to be with you, Jordan.
Sure. They're all going to be historically anachronistic somehow, and
right.
Only with men.
Yeah.
And it's going to be from MaximumFuck.org.
Yes.
Dot, and the org stands for orgasm.
Originally, It was called Greek Date.
Yeah.
Or Greco-Roman Dating was one that we used for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Grapple Date.
And I beat that, and I built that whole...
Grapple Date.
We realized that Welch's had the copyright on Grapple Date.
It really is a delicious
juice. It's a juice with grapples, dates.
Grapple is a grape-apple combo.
Yes.
There's absolutely nothing like date juice.
No.
Surprise. It's actually the grapple, not a apple grappling hook combination.
But
imagine my disappointment when
you
I
bought
opened
a 12-pack.
Yeah.
Date juice, also the combined fluids of the daters. Accumulated at the end of the night.
Wait, this is just an empty bottle. You have to fill it up with your date juice.
Okay, well, I think what's important to remember about this segment on Jordan Jesse Go is how excited we are to have the great Hal Rudnick here, how excited we are to be entertaining you, and the fact that I mess my pants on a regular basis, right?
As a rule.
It's a Jordan Jesse Go. We'll be back in just a second with more. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, look at that guy over there. Look at that handsome young man. Is that Hal Rudnick, Jordan?
If I don't have a crazy disease, so it must be.
The hilarious comic actor, Hal Rudnick?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesse. Oh, you flatter me.
Do you get, you know, as a listener, you know you get to pick a nickname.
Yes. I was thinking, since I am a listener, first time, long time, or maybe first time, long time.
Yeah.
Or I was also thinking...
this is the first time you've listened to the show for a long time. That's what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes. The show has been around far too long at this point.
And this is the first time you've heard it.
Yes. Or I was thinking Hal Rudnick, contest winner.
I like first time, long time.
I like first time, long time. It's punchier.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got a little verve.
Yeah.
A little go to town.
It's a classic radio phrase.
Jordan, I have to admit something.
Yes.
You got held up maybe a little bit at the office or something like that, and Hal and I were sitting here.
I was a little late.
I met Hal at the door, and I made a classic faux pas.
Oh,
just
boy.
Classic faux pas when a guest comes over wearing a Montreal Expos t-shirt.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but
shoved him down.
I briefly confused. I was trying to think of Darren Fletcher's name, and all I could come up with was Darren Dalton.
Power-hitting catcher for the Phillies.
Now, I'm talking about a high-average hitting catcher for the Montreal Expos, Darren Fletcher. Now, sure, they're both left-handed hitting catchers, an unusual and valuable commodity.
Yes.
But they had very different skill sets.
I made the same mistake the other day. I called a bird a dog. So, I know exactly where you're coming from. Exactly.
That was embarrassing for you and the bird, especially.
Darren Dalton had quite a photo spread in the SI swimsuit issue with his wife, who was a Hooters model and possibly a Playboy playmate.
Mm. There you go. This is the kind of knowledge that you can only get from a first-time, long-time Hal Rudnick. You know what I mean?
Darren Dalton played with Nails, Lenny
Dykstra. Sure, Lenny Dykstra,
who became
later
a very successful businessman, and then shortly thereafter
threw
declared
it all away.
Bankruptcy.
I read I read this amazing article. This guy, Lenny Dykstra, Jordan, for your benefit, was a
Nails.
Nails
because
Dykstra.
Because of his physique.
A center fielder.
What is that in reference? Because
he was tough as nails.
Because he could hammer nails with his boner.
Oh. Right. And he was known for having two things, for having a very well-cut physique and having a very heavy boner.
That could be used in lieu of common household tools.
Yeah. And not just.
And then he could pry out the nails with his balls. Yes.
He had a kind of a type of balls.
Yeah, kind of a claw. Balls. A clawed ball.
So Lenny Dykstra played center field for the Philadelphia Phillies in the early 90s when the Phillies were a good ball club. And the Phillies were kind of the classic, like, when they call a baseball player, when they say a baseball player has a lot of hustle, they mean that he's not very good and he's white. The Philadelphia Phillies were a whole team of, like, hustle guys. They were, like, big hustle guys. And, like, some fat white guys with goatees and mullets
Crucker.
I mean? Yeah, John Kruk, very fat.
Yes.
Darren Dalton, not a slim man. And so, like, you know, it's just a collection of fat, slobby white guys that the media loved because they were white. That's a good way to tell if the media is going to love a baseball player. Are they white? If they are, they probably will. And so Lenny Dykstra was called Nails because he was so tough. Tough as nails. He'd run into walls.
Put his body on the line day in, day out. Always got his uniform dirty.
Never struck me certainly as a smart man.
No.
I would say that none of the Philadelphia Phillies struck me as smart.
With the possible
exception of well-known prankster late inning reliever Larry Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
But
Mitch Wild Thing Williams?
No.
Not a
are
bright
saying,
man.
Are you saying that it takes brains to pull a good prank?
Yeah, in baseball, I think a good prank is a hot foot, which is just lighting someone's shoe on fire.
Sure. Or the shaving cream pie in the face
while
you're doing an interview.
Right, those are the two classic baseball pranks. But Lenny Dykstra then opened a chain of car washes.
Yes.
In Southern California. He moved to Southern California after his playing days were numbered because he'd run into too many walls head first. And I read this New Yorker article about him, and his basic thing that he said, like his business philosophy, this article was about what a great businessman he was. And his business philosophy was, well, people love cars in Southern California. So he opened a bunch of car washes, did very well, sold the car washes, and then started a magazine. This was what the New Yorker article was about, a magazine for athletes, a lifestyle magazine for professional athletes. Now, here's my concerns with this plan, and it didn't turn out well for Nails, but here are some concerns going in. Number one, there are what, 500 or 600 Major League Baseball players. There's about 300 professional basketball players. There's more football players, maybe 1,000, 1,200.
Give or take.
Maybe there's another, I don't know how many people are on a hockey team, but I'm going to guess maybe there's another 500 professional hockey players.
Sure.
So you're looking at roughly 2,500 professional athletes in the United States in the major organized sports. Maybe you can get rich if you're maybe there's 100 other athletes who do well from being a professional athlete in the United States, like your Lance Armstrongs.
Your Shamiqua Holdsclaw, your Lisa Leslie.
Wait, but I mean...
WNBA players.
I mean, but you don't have to be a professional athlete. I mean, you don't have to live in a penthouse to read Penthouse. If you do, I'm in trouble.
Jesse,
a lot of penthouses in my apartment.
What if I'm an avid sports fan?
Okay.
And I have some liquid assets, and I want to learn how to live like my favorite players live.
Mm-hmm. The premise of this magazine was that professional athletes don't know what to do with themselves or their money. So if you have money and have gotten it through, there are many ways to get money here in the United States.
Sure.
Most of them involve...
You could be an astronaut, a doctor, a
knowing
lawyer,
something about business
president.
Or being responsible.
Yes.
That they're giant children.
Even if you inherit your money, one would presume that you grew up in a culture of money with parents or grandparents who had a lot of money and knew how to manage your money, so you're not just going to go crazy with it. So the only category of person, I think, that has the qualifications for this that's not a professional athlete is maybe going to be a lottery winner. Like, are there other groups of people who have a huge amount of money and thus want to read about boats?
So there's a lot in this magazine, a lot of yacht talk, a lot of like.
I remember there was
a lot of like how to buy an island.
I remember that if I'm remembering correctly, Rafael Palmeiro, the former first baseman for, among others, the Baltimore Orioles.
And Viagra spokesman.
And the famous noted Viagra spokesman and steroid user.
Yes.
Was going to write a personal finance column. And, you know, sure, there are some questionable personal finance gurus in the United States, but I would not give my money to Rafael Palmeiro.
No.
Not in 100 trillion bajillion years.
The man lied to Congress.
Yeah. It's so
he didn't just lie. He waggled his finger at congressmen as
yeah.
he lied.
And so the question instantly becomes, like, his plan was to make a magazine for a group of 3,000 people. If you include Shamiqua Holzkla, you include the lottery winners, you throw in a few people who found a treasure map.
Ex-golfer Lee Trevino?
Yeah, exactly. You can put in Chichi Rodriguez for all I care.
Okay.
You got a target audience of 3,000 people. Now, how many of these people are going to subscribe to the magazine? Let's say you've got really effective marketing.
Oh, Fuzzy Zeller. Thank you.
The racist
he made
Fuzzy
those
Zeller.
Racist comments.
Yeah, he asked if Tiger Woods was going to serve fried chicken as his.
Yeah. So
I think it's like a playful racism, though.
Yeah.
That's like a fun racism.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Big Brother.
Right, exactly.
I think that
it's
was
like giving your little African American brother a noogie, sending him on his way with a licorice whip.
Rookie hazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a licorice whip across the back
for not working in the licorice fields.
It's a shame that you guys aren't racists, because you could be forging new frontiers in the world of racism.
I would be a doozy of a racist.
We put the fun back into racism.
I was trying to think of a word that's in racism.
Like,
You know how they always say that Birth of a Nation was a revolutionary film, and so it's so important you watch it in film class because it was so important, even though it's about the protagonists are the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, even though it's one of the most horrific films ever made.
Yeah, you guys would be making similar innovations in whatever medium you chose to express your racism. Just like when we were talking about whipping. Other people might whip with a whip. You're talking about whipping with a licorice whip.
Yeah.
Or maybe you take it one step further and whip with an orange whip.
Well, by dumping it on someone? The orange whip is a drink, right?
Yeah.
That would just be messy.
If you put it on somebody, it'd be real cold and sticky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing out ideas. All I'm saying is Nils Dijkstra did not seem to have a good, effective plan going in for somebody that had a New Yorker article written about what a brilliant businessman they
were. There were only a few thousand people in his target audience, but you neglect to mention that he was going to be charging $2,500 per issue.
Right. I mean, the Excel spreadsheet worked out.
Yeah.
And I think when Tad Friend or whoever it was from the New Yorker went down to Nails' house and looked over his shoulder at the computer, you know, in between hands of party poker and, day trades,
mm-hmm.
and saw the spreadsheet, he just didn't notice that in the cell for issue price, even though it said we'll only sell 1,000 issues because it will sell to one-third of our target audience,
yes.
which seemed ambitious but mm-hmm. achievable, and he didn't notice that the cell underneath said $2,500 per issue.
Yes.
And the other thing is Palmeiro doesn't work cheap.
No.
If we know anything about Rafael Palmeiro and the big money contract he signed with the Baltimore Orioles and their free-spending owner, Peter Angelos, we know that Palmeiro doesn't work cheap.
Can I rapidly switch topics? Would that be rude of me to rapidly switch topics?
No, we've upset you for long enough.
No,
I also wanted to mention that I've met Walt Weiss.
Have you met Mike Gallego?
I haven't met Mike Gallego.
Oh, that's a great Keystone combo, though. You gotta admit.
Oh, yeah. They could turn quite a double play.
Anyway, Jordan?
Yes.
Hal, are you drinking a Pepsi Max?
I am drinking a Pepsi Max.
Okay, I've seen the billboards.
Yes.
Tagline, the Diet Cola for men.
True.
What the fuck is going on with that?
Trying to increase my testosterone, Jordan.
Yeah.
Actually, I was out of town for a while, and there were a lot of Pepsi Maxes at my disposal when I was in Connecticut working on something, and I started to get a taste for it, and so much so that I started thinking about it more and more, and yeah. I realized that Pepsi Max has twice the caffeine of a regular Pepsi or Diet Pepsi, and it also has an infusion of ginseng in it.
Oh.
And
it gives me just such
such delightful jitters.
Delightful jitters, a zing, puts a skip in my step.
Tell me if this is gross, but can I taste your Pepsi Max?
You can taste my Pepsi Max.
Okay, I want to taste it. I've never tasted a Pepsi Max.
The reason that it's for men is that
I don't
it has
like
all these...
the fact that it's like we're for men. I'm not a huge
you're no sexist.
Hey, yeah, drink a pit bull or kind of guy. But I don't know. It just gives me a zing. But I'm afraid of
you have auditioned for Mansers.
Yes,
but
I've been on Mansers.
Oh, really?
I did some unfortunate things on Mansers.
You do have Axe body spray. Axe underarm deodorant.
You can smell it from
Axe
there.
Axe shampoo. I saw a commercial on TV yesterday where a guy used Axe shampoo, and then a pig jumped off a ledge and hit him. And then all these, like bikini chicks started touching his hair.
Jesse, if you're going to describe it, get it right. First, the pig finds him, then he uses the Axe shampoo, then the chick. Like, you have to get that timeline correct
because
the pig is not attracted to the
pig.
Yes. If you were watching close enough, you'd notice that the blonde woman in the commercial said to the pig, "Find me a dirty boy."
Oh.
You're an expert on this commercial.
I
want to know. I feel like Axe body products are ascendant in the marketplace. Like, this must be a success because the line has expanded dramatically.
Yeah.
And I see tons of commercials for this stuff. And it's hard to find. This is a product category where, you know, typically consumer preferences are well established. You know, you just use whatever you already use. You know what I mean?
I still use the brand of deodorant that, like, my mom bought me on my 12th birthday.
Secret.
Yeah.
Secret. A lady's secret. Mitchum. I still buy a Mitchum roll-on.
Oh, Mitchum seems like such a... Mitchum is like the Pepsi Max of deodorants.
No, it's like the ginger ale of deodorants. No, it's unscented. It's kind of in a classy bottle.
Oh, sure. It is classy. It looks, streamlined, nice, green, no bells and whistles. But their ad campaign is to dudes.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Mitchum
is... It has a guy shooting a machine gun full of Mitchums.
Yeah, into his dick.
I feel like...
Just eradicating his own dick by firing Mitchum missiles at it.
I feel like Mitchum is the choice of the man whose face is blooming from drinking too much.
Well,
yes.
with
gin blossoms.
When I think of Mitchum, I think of a strong man with maybe a barrel chest and his pants hiked high. I think of Robert Mitchum,
right?
The manly actor who was busted for marijuana in the 1950s because they didn't care for grasshoppers back then. And you cannot help but for me, Robert Mitchum. So I did have an affinity for Mitchum. But I go with my right guard Aquasport because it has those little flavor pellets that push up through the top of it.
So in case you
want to
lick
dial.
It, it's not going to be gross.
I use an Arm & Hammer brand underarm deodorant, I think.
Just powdered baking soda.
Thinking about it right now, I think it's just because it reminds me of cookies.
Rubbing cookies on yourself.
It's like rubbing cookies under my arms.
No, I know.
Which is something I do anyway.
Uh-huh.
Here's something I've noticed in the male hygiene product realm. And I want to preface this by saying I'm not a fancy guy like Jesse. Like, I'll buy a bargain basement product.
Yeah.
You know. I look a little dumpy.
I'll add something to that as well.
Please
and this
do.
Is with all the respect that is due you after many years of high quality friendship.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to not being fancy, you're also somewhat of a miser.
Sure, absolutely. There's
a
product.
Do you hoard your money?
I do. I'm notoriously very cheap.
Mm-hmm. I do the same thing. I try to build a wall of money around myself.
Good. But there's a product that is now shampoo, conditioner, and body wash in one. And it's always kind of for men. It's never in the ladies' hygiene aisle. It's just a gel that you dump on yourself in the shower. It's just an all-purpose cleaning gel that you're just supposed to slather all over yourself. To me, that seems wrong. I mean, I don't have a lot of bathroom products.
What's good about it, though, it's also a de-louser.
Right, yeah.
From the people who brought you Rid.
Yeah.
But
it's also got a few matches taped to it in case you need to burn off some ticks.
Are the minds of America's 20-year-old men so malleable that the Axe's advertisements work? That people buy that and think, like, that's my one. It's the one that gets the ladies to throw the pig at you.
And you're like, now I'm no idiot. I don't believe everything I see on TV. Now, I know that when I spray this on myself, I'm not going to get trampled by a vicious horde of horny women. But I'll probably get laid when I go out.
Yeah.
I'm no dummy. When I go to Hula Hands...
I think it might just be the much more basic thing. Like you think of cologne. Cologne is when you want to spruce up, when you want to dress up and do something a little bit special. But the body spray, it's just a stink masker. And guys like need to mask their stink, so they put this wall of spray on themselves. And like, oh, I stink. Now I can cover it up. Thanks, Axe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing. It's truly amazing to me. Anyway, we have so much more stuff to talk about on Jordan Jesse Go. We'll take a quick break and be right back with myself, Jordan Morris, and the great Hal Rudnick. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hal Rudnick, first time, long time.
Oh, that's nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice jazzy rhythm.
I might go down as one of the fave nicknames of all time.
That's an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
It's no Kevin Sprinkles Pereira, but it'll do.
But on the other hand, Hal didn't bring donuts.
Yeah.
So that's his own fault.
You guys had, I wish I remembered it, you guys had one a couple months back that just really popped and you just could not stop gushing over it.
Was it Kurt Anderson had a good one? It was like...
Explodo.
Oh, yeah, Explodo, yeah.
That was
like,
good.
I remember when Ackerman was on, you were just talking about Explodo.
Oh, man, Kurt Anderson's really cool. I Twittered with Kurt Anderson the other day. He Twittered something about how he got invited to the White House. He and his wife got invited to the White House.
Wow.
For a
KA moving up.
I know. Well, that guy's a pretty serious class act. Like,
no, oh, hey,
this is that kind of shit goes. I feel like that kind of shit goes down for our boy Kurt Anderson.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Kurt Anderson got invited for like a design, the annual White House Design Awards or something like that.
Ooh.
And he Twittered that he had just been his back had just been brushed by Michelle Obama. But she was just looking for her chair, as it turned out. And I, of course, Twittered back to him, Bone Zone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he loved it. Because he's a class act. He knows what's going on. He knows what the fuck is important in the world.
Sure.
That's looking for opportunities to use the phrase Bone Zone.
Right. And what better opportunity than our first lady?
Yeah.
The foxy Michelle Obama.
She's a lovely woman.
Absolutely.
She's a beautiful woman. Okay, look, Jordan and I are headed out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to go to Puerto Vallarta.
Sure.
Then I'm going to go to what a listener once described as the Mexican state of Oaxaca. Oaxaca.
Is this on your cruise?
No, this will not be on a cruise. On my cruise, I just go to various wooded areas in New York's Central Park. I'm going out of town. These guys, Jordan, you're gonna be hosting the show for a couple weeks while I'm out of town.
Yeah.
You're gonna have John the intern here helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you and I, and our pals Merlin, Scott, and Adam are going on tour with the Monsters of Podcasting.
Yes.
I feel like this needs to be formally announced.
A two-stop tour.
Hey, this is we're covering the entire East Coast,
mm-hmm.
Both Philadelphia and New York. September 18th and 19th is New York. 18th is The Sound of Young America. 19th is Monsters of Podcasting. I'm doing The Sound of Young America at WNYC. We're doing Monsters of Podcasting at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which you might have heard of. And that Wednesday and Thursday, we're in Philadelphia at the Adrian Theater. Wednesday's The Sound of Young America. Thursday, The Monsters of Podcasting. This is going to be epic, Jordan.
Yeah.
This is going to be spectacular.
Do you think they like us in Philadelphia?
No, I do not think they like us in Philadelphia. I do not think. You know why? Because we keep making fun of Nails, Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Now, if I could get Darren Dalton on the Monsters of Podcasting,
what a coup.
Monsters of Podcasting with special guest Darren Dalton, or how about this? Monsters of Podcasting, special guest Randall Cunningham. Former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, Randall Cunningham.
You know, former Philadelphia Philly Doug Glanville was a guest on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me over the weekend.
You know, and I heard that he was great.
He was great.
He writes a column for the Times now, doesn't he?
Yeah, writes a column about sports for the Times, and he has an engineering degree, and they touted him as being a very bright athlete.
Where does Doug Glanville live? Where's a Doug Glanville coming from?
I believe he lives in Chicago now.
Okay. Yeah. Chicago, Illinois' own Doug Glanville. Of course, he played for the Chicago Cubs, which is how he probably ended up in Chicago.
Right, and Phillies, among others.
So I guess the moral of the story is buy your tickets now. If you go to MaximumFun.org, everything except for... both of the Philadelphia shows are on sale now, and by the time you hear this, maybe the New York shows will be on sale. But keep your eyes on MaximumFun.org and on my Twitter and stuff like that. We are also going to have a really sweet poster. So if you're in New York or Philadelphia, what we're going to do is sell the poster in advance, and you can pick it up at the show. It is really cool. I just got the art for it in my email. It is really, really cool. And and we'll be selling it at the show, of course, but we'd rather you get it ahead of time. I think it's going to be really neat.
Yes.
That's how we're paying our bills, by the way. Upright Citizens Brigade Theater does not pay.
No.
You will be paying them, and they will be keeping that money.
Yes.
keeping it.
Hal and I know. We are regular performers at the Upright Citizens Brigade here in Los Angeles. Great theater, great operation, always the best crowd in comedy.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not getting any money out
of it. Not getting any money at all. But maybe if you're selling a poster.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying? Maybe if you're selling a poster, people will pay the totally reasonable price for the poster, get their poster, and, you know, then we're cooking, right?
Yeah.
We're cooking. I got cool guests coming up for The Sound of Young America. Philadelphia, of course, you're looking at the Spinto Band. I mean, come on, Spinto Band?
What's that?
How do you not buy a ticket to Spinto Band? You get to see Spinto Band.
Okay.
This is Philadelphia's most famous band, okay? Except for Dr. Dog. Dr. Dog are going to be on tour. The second most famous band in Philadelphia, Spinto Band.
In the history of the great city of Philadelphia?
They're actually from Delaware. Well, it depends on whether you include singing groups. Because if you include singing groups, well, all of a sudden you've got Boys to Men. You've got the OJs.
Biv DeVoe.
If you're talking about instrumental groups, well, look at this. All of a sudden you've got MFSB with their hit sound, The Sound of Philadelphia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do 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 do.
That is how it went.
That sounds like Philly to me.
TSOP, The Sound of Philadelphia, hit song for MFSB, my friends. Sorry, God, Jordan. Anytime I talk about sports or black people, Jordan tunes out.
Oh, you're making me sound like a chubby racist. Which I am.
Hal, you just got back from the road, didn't you? Were you abroad recently?
Yeah, not too long ago, I was in Thailand shooting a major motion picture.
A major motion picture in Thailand?
Yes.
Was it Bangkok 13 starring Nicolas Cage?
It was. I played Nicolas Cage's little sidekick, Poo Poo.
You drove
right this way, Mr. Cage.
You drove his tuk-tuk.
Yes. Oh, tuk-tuks were in abundance over there.
Or scooter taxi.
But yeah, not as popular as scooters and mopeds. Mopeds were everywhere. Mm. They are the prevalent form of transportation over there. And so much so, you'd see entire families on a moped, mother, father, and child riding on the handlebars of this moped.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
I was in Thailand for all of like 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was visiting, like, my dad does development work, and he had his friend there, Father Joe. So I was supposed to visit Father Joe basically during a plane layover. And I went to see Father Joe, but Father Joe was in a meeting. So Father Joe's assistant put me on a scooter with a man. He just put me on this scooter. He's like, okay, get on this scooter, and the man will take you somewhere.
Does Father Joe run a mission in Thailand?
Yeah, he does.
Thailand?
He does run a mission in Thailand. And
saving many lost Thai souls?
Well, he's not
from the scourge of Buddhism.
He's not an evangelical. He's not running an evangelical. He's running a service mission.
Oh, lovely.
Saving orphan children's lives. Real class act, Father Joe.
Making sure no one puts them on a scooter.
Yeah, very dirty sense of humor, too, which is great. Which is a great quality in a priest, I think. But Father Joe just put me on this scooter. It was terrifying. This man is just there, and I'm like, can I grab the guy? Because I'm scared.
Yeah.
And there's that little, like, bar that you can grab behind you.
Yep.
But I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but, like, when you're in an uncomfortable situation, you tend to cross things in front of you,
mm-hmm.
right? That makes you feel better. Like, just going into the fetal position is essentially, like, the ultimate form of crossing your arms and legs in front of you. You see what I'm saying? And putting your arms behind you is the opposite of that. It's basically just like saying, hey, motorcycle accident, kick me in the balls.
Take me, world. My time is up.
And I couldn't do it. So I don't care if it's appropriate or inappropriate. I just grabbed onto this man like I was a motorcycle mama and he was my daddy.
Yeah. I worked with this security guard once, and he was talking about this big motorcycle ride that he took and this woman that he took with him on the ride. And he was talking about her, and he said, yeah, I had one hell of a back warmer. So that's probably what your driver was thinking.
I was some fella's back warmer. God, yeah. That's scary. Okay, so you were riding around on a tuk-tuk.
Well, I mean, your dick specifically was his back warmer.
Yes.
But yeah.
His butt warmer. I took
I'm sort
a harrowing.
Of like, in a certain way, I'm sort of like I'm sort of a living a parallel life to Lenny Dykstra. He's known for the weight of his dick. I'm known for the warmth of my
sure,
dick.
Sure, exactly.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's like you twist it. It's like a hot cold pack.
Yeah, sure.
You release the chemical.
Yeah, it's great for hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic for hiking.
And your jizz is the same chemical compound as Icy Hot.
Yeah.
I took a harrowing motorcycle or moped ride through the streets of Bangkok, which, you know, dodging in and out of cars. And then once you hit a straightaway, picking up speed, it was really like I was in a video game or it was an amusement park ride. And it was amazing yet frightening. And yeah, exact same experience.
Helmet? You wearing a helmet in this?
Yes, wearing a helmet.
Okay.
I was not wearing a helmet.
Ah.
All I could think about was my brain splattered on a Thai street as he, like, wove between chickens in downtown Bangkok.
And then
I go to a I don't want to derail the moped.
Not at all. I could talk mopeds all day.
I go to a
Vespas.
I go to a Thai restaurant here, and they have, you know, kind of all the kind of standard Thai stuff toward the front of the menu, and then
we're talking about tuk-tuks. We're talking about
Bloodsport. The movie Bloodsport took
right.
place
foot
there.
Foot massages.
That's on the menu.
Right. Go ahead.
Then they have a page at the back called Adventurous, where it's a lot of frog-based dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff with the head still on.
Serpent's head soup.
Sure. Yeah. What is a Thai cooking here versus Thai cooking there?
It's fairly similar. I was not that adventurous when it came to trying stuff. I like spicy, though, and I tried some very, very spicy chicken dishes. Although it was a children's action-adventure movie I was on, and there was a family there
And Spy Kids situation?
Yeah, kind of like Spy Kids in a jungle. It was called The Lost Medallion, and I was a villain chasing these children looking for that damn medallion in the jungle and trying to catch those kids. And
were you pied at all? Were you ever pied in this process?
Just pie-eyed when I arrived to set after a night of carousing.
Nice.
But there was one family there, and the mother would only let the kids eat like peanut butter and white bread. Mm. And we had delicious just culinary delights served to us on set every day. She wouldn't touch any of it. There was an American side where we could get lunch or a Thai side. Always going to the American side and getting French fries, fried chicken, or bringing the peanut butter sandwiches from her hotel room. And I thought they were the epitome of the ugly American.
You know what?
Then I went out and got drunk and made fun of them.
Not to their faces.
You know what surprised me about Bangkok, Thailand? Because I went my only time in Southeast Asia, I was mostly in Laos, and I was working mostly, but that 12 hours in Bangkok, Thailand, the thing that I was impressed by, I guess maybe just because Laos is obviously a communist nation, and so it's just not very developed or dense or anything. And you get to Bangkok, I was shocked at how many Kentucky Fried Chickens there were. This is an entire city of Kentucky Fried Chickens.
In the entire country of Thailand, there are far more 7-Elevens than there are in the United States, and they just refer to it as 7. Are you going to 7? Because the number 7 is prominent, and 11 is spelled out, so they don't maybe necessarily read the English. But if you ask a tuk-tuk driver...
7 Other Thing.
Was Thailand enjoyable? Was it a good experience?
It was. Some of the best food I've ever eaten.
When I was in Laos, a big thing they eat there, like the national dish of Laos, is something you can often get in like a Thailand or a Thai restaurant. In Laos, it's usually anglicized as LARP or LARP. Uh-huh. Like it depends on what kind of restaurant you go into, how they spell that in English, but like an LARP, it's like a ground meat mint salad.
Not to be confused with AARP.
Yeah, which is an organization for older Americans.
Yes.
A lobbying and activist organization. Mm. And I ate a LARP this LARP is like, it's just what they eat. Like they take a whole chicken and just grind it up into little pieces. Like every part of a chicken, you know, from the, you know, head to the marrow. You know what I mean? And
even the coxcomb.
Exactly. They add some magical spices and some lime and mint and things like this, and it becomes this salad, right? Mm. I ate one that was made out of a wild boar. Mm. Wild boars are hella good.
Yeah, but they're fatty.
Yeah, the fat is good too. I mean, if you think the fat of a pig is good, you got to try the fat of a boar.
So would that be similar to a scrapple?
Sure, it's like a scrapple date kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm. little date juice in there.
Yeah.
The one thing about Bangkok, you get any international cuisine you want, and it's the best you've ever had because it's such an international community, and you have just little enclaves of everyone. And one particularly fun experience, I was in an Indian restaurant in Bangkok, and I was the only person in there save for one other gentleman. He was an older man, maybe in his 70s. He was wearing a tailored gold shirt with Chinese dragons on it, and he had what looked to be like tailored pants as well, and just very well kept. And so I struck up a conversation with him. I asked him, how's his day? How's his time in Bangkok?
In Thai, I presume.
In Thai, Kapun Kap, and he
LARP.
LARP.
Tuk-tuk.
Thailand.
Pad Thai. And
blood sport.
So he was telling me how he was an expatriate from Germany, and he lived in Italy for years as a travel agent. And then within 5 minutes of meeting him, he told me about how he'd had a penis pump installed within the past year. and how it has changed his life radically, and he is visiting with many, many ladies now.
Mm. Installed?
Yes.
Let's talk about installation.
Surgically implanted into his penis and thigh.
So is this like, is it internal, or is it like they just insert a bladder and an entry point, sort of like a basketball or a volleyball, and you just stick your pump in there and...
I heard it's a device where there's a button on your leg. You press the button and you immediately are ready for adult fun.
Is that something you get?
When you say adult fun, you're referring to blood sport?
Yeah. Two consenting adults wrap their hands in linen, dip them in glue, and then dip them in glass, and then they fight.
I did sit ringside for a kickboxing match as well.
Wow, really?
High kickboxing.
And wait, one more penis pump question.
Yes.
I want to hear about the kickboxing, mm-hmm. but I also have a penis question.
I don't even want to hear about the kickboxing. I just want to go back to the penis pump.
Is this just a substitute for a Viagra, or was his dick mangled?
Substitute for Viagra. I asked him, what about pills or Viagra? He said, oh, no, this is so much better, dear boy. Now I press the button. I'm ready to go. I used to be like, will I or won't I? Will I or won't I? Talking about whether he'd get an erection or not when he was with a lady. And now he will. Every time out, he's batting 1,000.
That voice you did made it sound like he owned a magical toy factory.
Oh, he was very much a caricature.
This was Mr. Megorium, right?
It was actually the actor Dustin Hoffman who played Mr. Megorium.
But he does Mr. Megorium most of the time now.
Yes. He had a tragic accident during that movie, and he's stuck in Mr. Megorium.
I think that makes his recent performances in other films all the more remarkable. If you understand that in his day-to-day life, he lives as Mr. Megorium.
Well, it just actually turns out that Mr. Megorium is a very good actor. Right. So, Dustin Hoffman, very good actor.
Right.
Mr. Megorium, also pretty good.
Which is fantastic. It works out great. Mm-hmm. He perfectly captures the essence of Mr. Megorium.
You can see Mr. Megorium coming out just along the fringes in that movie with Emma Thompson from last year.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what it's called either.
Yeah. Something like Old Harry.
I feel...
Date Juice.
Yeah, Date Juice.
It's called Date Juice.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris... Whoa! I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
That's good. Jordan.
I got a frog in my throat.
Get your act together. What's going on over there?
Sorry, I didn't do my vocal warm-ups.
Jordan, you got to stop shooting heroin into your neck.
Sorry, I just don't want anybody to see the track marks.
That's how Jordan does his heroin, you know? It's just...
Oh, I always wear turtlenecks, too.
Hal Rudnick, first time, long time.
Nice.
Thanks, Hal. It's nice. I like the Montreal Expos shirt. I like, you got a three-quarter, is that a high-top or a three-quarter?
I think it's a high-top.
Yeah, it looks like a high-top from here.
Yeah, got it real cheap at a sample sale. Had a friend that worked for Adidas. Bam.
Boom, bam, ba-ba-ba-ba. Is that like a sample-only Adidas, do you think?
I saw it in a store, and it was far more than I paid for it at the sample sale. It was a prohibitive price. I never would have bought it if I encountered it only in the store.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that completely. Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
We've got all these wonderful callers.
Don't we, though?
Who have called into our hotline at 206-9844-FUN. John the intern has listened to all these calls and brought us only the best. Do you want to give them a listen?
I do.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. This is Mitch from Kansas City. I thought I'd call in with a moment of shame. I was at my job today, which I've had for under a month, and I was paging my manager, and I accidentally cursed over the loudspeaker. So the family that I was helping at the moment with their young children heard me ask my manager to come to the cunt for customer assistance.
See, that's not a moment of shame. That's a moment of glory.
Yeah.
Because there's complete plausible deniability. There's no way that anyone can prove that you did it on purpose. And I'm going to assume you did it on purpose, because if you didn't, you know, what a disappointment.
Sure. You've got a PA system at your disposal. You might as well swear over it.
Was it a very ill-tempered woman that he needed to see for customer service?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a beautiful moment in a man's life when he says the C word over the, over the PA at his job. Oh, that's just fantastic. I think people should say horrible things over the PA.
Yeah, randomly, for no reason.
Yeah, God.
One of the best instances I encountered of someone cursing in a work situation, I was at one of those meetings where someone pitches a timeshare to you, and then you get like a free Macy's gift card or a weekend in Vegas for sitting through the timeshare spiel. So I sat through it, got my gift card. I was leaving, walked in the parking lot with my girlfriend at the time, and someone who I obviously, he's one of the salesmen, did not sell a timeshare that day. Big muscular guy, probably used performance enhancing drugs
to enhance his timeshare performance.
Yes, was walking out of the building, and immediately as the door shut behind him, he started yelling, "Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!" screaming it in the parking lot as he was walking to his car.
That's funny and sad.
Yeah.
And you said, "Yes, please."
Where do I sign up for that?
Hello, Jordan Jesse Go. This is Pat in Washington, D.C. calling in with a moment of shame. So, last night, I went to a birthday party of a friend of mine, walking part of town I probably shouldn't have been at that point in time, and considering my, you know, sort of drunkenness. Well, I mean, not terribly. But these young ladies on the street corner then asked me if I wanted to party, and I responded, fuck off, leave me alone. A little unfriendly, which, I don't know, out of the ordinary, but I was kind of drunk. So, then proceeds a bit more of an argument, which leads to one of the prostitutes taking off her high heel and beating me over the head with it. This opens up a giant gash in my head, and, you know, I end up covered in blood. You know, they also beat me in other ways, and then stole my wallet and my phone. Then I end up sitting on a street corner, absolutely covered in blood. And then the police come. So, you know, that was an interesting thing that happened.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Wow, yeah, these have both been more sad than funny.
Yeah, where do you begin on that one?
Picking a fight with a prostitute, huh?
Bad move.
They're pretty low on the totem pole to begin with, whether or not you're drunk. You know?
If a prostitute asks you, would you like to party, and
right.
if you don't want
to
party...
She's kind enough to invite you to a party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right? And she doesn't even know you.
Yeah.
Your response should be, no thank you, prostitute.
Yeah, you exactly. should... How about this? Send a regrets card.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe the invitation was regrets only. But you're still responsible for sending your regrets, not saying fuck off.
Throw a little Starbucks gift card in there.
Maybe have her forward you the Evite so you can just leave a clever, funny, no thank you response.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case, maybe. I think a Starbucks card is a good idea because, a lot of people fall into prostitution because of their addictions. Maybe she's a coffee-aholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If that's the case, I'm going to be turning tricks in no time.
Hello.
Next Monday.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Zach from North Carolina. I recently went to Charlotte to see some friends, and we went to an Urban Outfitters while I was there. And I picked up a couple of V-neck shirts. I'm a fan, as I know you are, Jesse. And it was not until I got home the next day, looked at my shopping bag, and saw that one of the shirts was a deep V-neck. I had inadvertently bought a deep V-neck because I wasn't paying much attention. And I'm just looking for advice on what to do with said shirt or just some emotional support. So, yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, here's some context in which it's appropriate to wear this deep V-neck shirt. In the past on the show, Jordan, I've talked about how the deep V-neck is probably the worst shirt.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way, certainly. There's no doubt about that.
That has not changed.
No.
You weren't pulled from a burning car by a man in a deep V.
In a situation where you might be wearing nothing but your underpants and an A-frame undershirt, what some might call a wife beater shirt, and sitting in front of your television while you're sitting right next to a block of ice and a fan, that's a time when it's appropriate to wear a deep V-neck or as an undershirt. It's fine to wear it as an undershirt. I have no objection to that.
Can you wear it to bed?
If you're alone, yes. I wouldn't want to wear it to bed if there was a lady there.
Can he return it? Is the tag still on it? Can he take it back?
I know, God.
Yeah, well, otherwise, you know, it's at Urban Outfitters. Even if you don't have the tag, just go take it back, get some store credit, and then get a book of stick figures teaching you sexual positions. Yeah. Oh, hey, I have just on the topic of bad clothing real quick. Child in Ed Hardy, more or less appropriate?
Oh, God.
I saw a kid in the Boston airport the other day, just Ed Hardy'd out.
I was just, you know, I saw a whole family wearing Ed Hardy walking down the street the other day.
Mm. I saw Ugg boots with Ed Hardy shit on the front of them. Not too long ago.
There's just, it's like Axe body spray. It's one of those things where you just, when you see it, you just go, huh, shit.
Well, putting the baby in, the kid doesn't have a chance. He is being nurtured into assholism.
Yeah, is it less appropriate because you are predisposing your child to being a dick, or is it more appropriate because, well, an adult shouldn't be wearing a t-shirt covered in colorful characters?
Here's something.
But a child can. I mean, like, if a child had a t-shirt covered in another kind of colorful character, would be fine with that. If pirates and snakes in another context.
Right.
But so is it just, can he just wear an Ed Hardy shirt because he likes pirates and snakes?
Here's the thing. I, in general, and this is an opinion that I hold strongly that is one of my more controversial opinions. I'm generally against
no Jews.
The purchase. I'm generally against the purchase of new clothing for children.
Sure.
I feel like children don't care what they're wearing. As long as it's clean, what the fuck does it matter? They're just going to, like, barf or spill juice on it anyway.
That's a very utilitarian view. What if you just want to put the kid in a cute tee?
Especially below the age of five.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything under the age of five, any child under the age of five, just either, if you don't have relatives that are giving you hand-me-downs, which you should, just buy whatever the nicest thing is at the secondhand store. I think you'll be fine because it's only they wear the clothes for a month. All they do really with them is barf on them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm as much as I care about clothes. So in that part of me wants to say that it's even worse because someone went out and spent $50 on a new Ed Hardy shirt for a child that doesn't care what it's wearing and is just going to barf on it. And in addition to that, and I'm not saying all children just barf on themselves all the time. Mostly babies are barfing on themselves. But certainly all children are getting, you know, soup on themselves or whatever.
How do you feel about expensive designer diapers?
Oh, God. I don't know. What is an expensive designer diaper?
Oh, maybe a...
This is just something you made up.
A leather diaperette.
Made out of maybe like a suede chamois material for softness and absorbency.
Because
you don't want to scratch the finish.
And it's got an iPhone pocket, too. A little pocket for its iPhone.
Maybe with a leopard print?
Yeah, I think maybe it's even worse. Because the baby can't... You're projecting that the child or baby is choosing this.
I don't... The kid looks like he was... In this case, the kid looks like he was old enough to say, get me that one. You know, he's a kid who you would see in a, you know, whatever, in a dinosaur shirt or a, you know, Tony Hawk shirt or something like that.
I mean, I agree with Jesse for the most part, except I think it is fun to occasionally have the novelty tee for your kid. And you bring it, hey, you know, kind of fun. Like,
I think that's cruel. I don't think you should put a joke on your child that your child hasn't thought of themselves.
Come on, like, I love milk, wear them titties. Or
come on, Jesse, that's cute.
It's all the horror of the comic T-shirt added with the fact that the child has been conscripted into wearing it.
No, I think it's the only acceptable outlet for the comic T-shirt now.
Yeah.
Any adult that gets their clothing at Spencer's Gifts, ostracized. But a child, oh, come on. Look at what the kid's trying to do.
Suck on a titty in this case.
Yeah.
Word.
Okay. That's fair. I'm going to say worse. What's your final call, Jordan?
Better or worse for the child than Ed Hardy?
Hal, what do you say?
Worse, because the kid doesn't have a chance if it's the Ed Hardy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I will go worse. Yeah, I'm going worse, too.
Okay.
I was playing devil's advocate.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Love you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hal Rudnick, first time, long time.
Oh, God, I love this guy. Don't you love this Hal Rudnick character?
Yes.
What? What's your problem?
No, I do. I was singing it. That's how much I love him.
Mm. It's not like you were being annoyed at me because I love him too much.
No, I was shouting it to the rafters.
I just love him a lot.
In a tuneful way.
I love it. It's Hal Rudnick from Reno 911.
I know.
From a movie from Thailand.
The Lost Medallion.
The Lost Medallion.
The Adventures of Billy Stone.
Oh, we've got a byline.
Yeah, he's like a young Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I gotcha.
Will he be involved in any kind of blood sports?
He does wield a long stick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Curiously, he's not involved in any blood sports, but he does wrap his hands in linen, dip them in glue, and then dip them into glass shards.
And then just walks around.
Yeah.
He doesn't fight anybody.
That's actually just
because
he rides
his bike.
He's got a bad rash. It's the only way he can really take care of it.
It really gets rid of an itch.
Oh.
Isn't there enough goodwill towards Bloodsport to where we can revive the underground fighting tournament movie genre? I'm just putting that out there. You guys don't have to answer. I'm just saying that to Hollywood.
I'm
going to
say this. How about this right here?
What?
If there wasn't, then if there are executives who doubt that we should bring this thing back, we just show them that JCVD movie.
Yeah.
We'll see what Jean-Claude Van Damme can really do, both comically and dramatically.
I bought a bootleg of that on the streets of Bangkok.
Really?
Yes.
Seems like an oddly art housey choice for them to have on the streets of Bangkok.
They had that, and then what was the Leo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet movie from? Oh, Revolutionary Road.
Uh huh.
Just some viewing on my laptop while I was there.
Right.
They had a very wide selection, but the funny thing about the packaging, there was that Clint Eastwood movie from last year.
Gran Torino,
and there were pictures from different movies on the package for Gran Torino. The packaging was very inaccurate, and like one movie from last year, there was a quote from Gene Siskel about it.
Oh,
Gene Siskel,
he's dead.
Sadly, long past member of Siskel and Ebert.
Who do you think, Jordan?
Oh, sure.
Would be the winner in the underground fighting tournament? What form? Because we have mixed martial arts now. You think karate? Do you think wushu?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
Krav Maga?
Krav Maga.
I think it's whoever has the most heart and who's ever doing it for the purest reasons.
You do need the heart of a champion.
Yeah, yeah. If you're doing it for like revenge
for
your buddy, then you're totally going to win.
I think you need more than that. You know what I think you need?
Hmm.
Two things. Number one, karate skills.
Yeah.
Number two, wait a minute, I fucked it up. Number one, gymnastic skills.
Okay.
Number two, karate kills.
Sure.
You're going to need Gymkhana, right?
You are going to need... Yeah, I mean, if you have Gymkhana, then you probably already are going to win. But
you talk about underground fighting, but with Ultimate Fighting and Strike Force and the like, the underground fighting has gone above
what's
ground.
What's Strike Force?
It's a lesser Ultimate Fighting League.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it's kind of like
a AAA.
The USFL or the XFL.
Right,
to
okay.
Ultimate Fightings.
Is this
Ultimate
related fighting. To that thing? We've talked about... Like, we've talked about the girl at my elementary school who did the monologue from Double Dragon, the movie, in drama class.
We have.
Is this related to that thing that she watched that was sort of like a cross between Power Rangers, professional wrestling, and a soap opera?
No. I think this is just
where
another...
Where they shoot magic bolts at each other.
I think this is just another MMA. I think this is just another...
Yeah, not a live-action Street Fighter.
Okay, look, we've got telephone calls to take, you guys. Every week on this show, we ask people to call in when something momentous happens to them. I don't need to explain this to you, Hal. You're a regular listener to the program. We call this segment Momentous Occasions. The number to call, by the way, if you ever have a momentous occasion, 206-984-4FUN. Let's hear what John the intern dredged out of our inbox this week.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse Go. This is Sarah from Chicago, Illinois. I am calling because of an extreme momentous occasion. I just witnessed my very first public sex expedition. I was on the L, the red line specifically.
Expedition.
And saw a woman, a rather large woman, thrusting upon the seat. And after departing, I discovered that they were, in fact, having sex, and there was a man underneath her. So that was a pretty momentous occasion for me. I just thought you would like to know about it. And I love your show. Thanks. Bye.
That is pretty momentous.
Wow, she was giggling like a schoolgirl. I think that sounded like that made her maybe a little randy.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Look out.
Who wouldn't become randy?
I hope so for Hal's sake.
Sure.
I'm a married man.
Right.
Ooh, maybe I'll run into her out there, because you never know.
In contrast to Hal's always catting about.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying. Hal's a well-known cat about.
Sure.
A man about town.
Cat about isn't an expression.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Zach from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've got a momentous occasion. I just had my first phone call where I got to yell at someone at work for not doing their job right. I even got to sputter, but that's unacceptable. It's really empowering. And then I bought a Zune. Great day. Great day.
Any day you buy a Zune's a great day in my book.
Yeah, right? Come on. Good job, dude.
Nothing like the Zune. Did you try that Zune pass I sent you, Jordan?
No, I haven't tried the Zune pass yet.
Oh, we'll see how that Zune pass works out.
I thought you retired from the Zune.
I did retire. I sold my Zune on eBay. I've got this information phone over here. It's a nice piece of equipment. I'm happy with it, but I do miss my Zune.
Right.
I
still have
do
love for
miss
the Zune.
My Zune. Miss that Zune. I have love for the Zune. Like certain rappers still have love for the streets.
Mm.
You know? Mr. DRE, maybe you've heard of him.
Get a Zune for Life tattoo?
In Old English.
Yes. Across the back.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse. I guess this is a momentous occasion. I just...
Number one, if you're going to call in a momentous occasion, can we get a little more commitment than that?
Yeah.
I guess.
Also, wait till you're not winded. I don't know what maybe your momentous occasion is running away from something. Maybe it's just having been punched in the stomach. But
if it's not either of those, if the solar plexus,
if you're not mid moment, then
let's give him a shot before we prejudge.
No, you're right.
Okay, sorry.
I just went hot tubbing on a late night. You know what I mean? For the first time, two girls. No funny stuff, but I thought that was the first time. Pretty momentous. Hot tubs are fun.
This guy was definitely, John definitely included this guy because of his charisma.
Sure. And, you
know. Hot tubbing on a late night?
Hot tubbing on a late night. You know what I mean? Your
hot
answer is yada to do.
Yada to do.
I don't know, dude. I mean, great job and everything. Sounds like a blast and a half. But you got two ladies in a hot tub on the late night, and you can't make any funny stuff happen? Sir, you need to go back to funny stuff school.
Call us back when you have a double finger bang.
You know, we
go see the movie Funny People.
There's been a lot of talk on the internet, in the forum, in the chat, about what greeting people should use to test the waters and find out if the other if the person they're talking to is a fan of of Jordan Jesse Go, The Sound of Young America. This has been a key issue because people don't want to nerd out over it if the other person isn't actually on board, even if there's some sign. There's been a lot of suggestions. I think this is the way that we should go. I don't know if you guys know about this, but before the era of gay liberation, homosexuals were forced to keep their gender preferences, their romantic and sexual gender preferences, secret. Mm. This was called being a closet. And when two closets got together, they would have to talk to each other and figure out if the other guy was also a closet or if he was a heterosexual, which they called an armoire. And the way they would do this was by asking each other, are you a friend of Dorothy? This was a code for, are you a closet? Which in turn was code for, are you a gay gentleman like myself?
Sure.
So here's what I'm suggesting. You ask the person, are you a friend of Chips? Are you a friend of Chip? What do you think of this? And the other person says, are you a friend of Dips? How about that?
How about, do you like this certain podcast that I like?
Jordan.
What?
We're trying to build up a mythos.
All right. No. We need a mythos. You're right.
I think much like it was to be an out gay gentleman back in the day, having it be known
an
that...
An out gay gentleman?
Yes, as opposed to a closet.
Oh, you're referring to a chest of drawers.
Oh, a chest of drawers.
Go ahead.
If it's out there that you're listening to Jordan, Jesse, go, the stigma and the possible retribution, it's just too dangerous to bring up in the streets.
Right. That's what I'm... You're going to be a target immediately.
Sure.
I mean, even to bring up in code.
Even for code?
Even for code.
So you're saying that no one should talk about it ever in any way?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, in World War II, they used a Native American language. I believe it was...
Wind talking.
Wind talking. Yes. There you go.
It was the basis for the movie Next.
The Navajo language.
And the MTV show Next.
It was the Navajo language was used as a secret code. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could use... This is a great idea. If you want to talk to somebody about Jordan Jesse Go, but you're not sure if they're a Jordan Jesse Go fan, you're a little bit nervous. You don't want to look like a fool by bringing it up in front of them and they don't know what it is. Talk to them about it a little bit in Navajo.
Mm.
And if they talk back to you in Navajo, then they're a fan of the show. If they don't understand what you're saying in Navajo, well, don't worry. You've saved face.
What about if you just start reciting lines from the movie Ghost Rider? Just randomly.
I think it might be safer to have a nonverbal silent signal, such as just showing the top of your pubes.
Just pulling a few out.
Just plucking them?
Oh,
plucking,
well, I wasn't thinking of the painful pluck. I was just thinking of lowering your pants slightly. or your skirt if you're a lady, Jordan Jesse Go listener.
How would they know that you're not a gangsta who was all out of clean underwear?
Because you are making
or
a show.
Or Marky Mark.
True. If it is, true. Well, it'll if it is confusing. Mark Wahlberg or a gangsta, go either way with that.
Okay. So if it's Marky Mark, you should speak Navajo.
Right.
Yes.
And if it's a gangsta...
ask him if he's a friend of Dorothy.
There you go.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hal Rudnick, first time, long time.
I love it. It just feels right.
Doesn't it, though?
You know?
Just like a fresh condom right out of the wrapper.
Yeah, it just feels right.
Sliding it on.
I feel like we had a good, solid show, Jordan.
Yes.
What's going on in our world? Well, we're headed in September to New York and Philadelphia. We talked about that. We've got some cool stuff going on with regard to a little contest called the High Five Contest.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan is going to be curating the High Five Contest during the month of August. He's going to be keeping an eye on your entries.
Let's just go ahead and call August Jordan Month.
Okay. August is Jordan Month here in MaximumFun.org land. Thank you. Are you still going to blog on the blog?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do a little blogging.
Jordan's going to try blogging out.
I may fail.
Yeah, that's true.
While Jesse's gone, direct all your questions to me. I can't promise anything.
No, but I think you'll do a nice job.
Thanks.
What constitutes a failed blog?
Just a bunch of gobbledygook on the internet.
I want to send best wishes to Oliver. He's a regular on our forum, Oliver. You know Oliver from the forum? Very, posts a lot on the forum. He recently got the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, my.
By a stranger on the street.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I had to go into, face surgery.
Ugh.
Because you really got the shit kicked out of him. That is just the most horrible, terrifying thing that just could ever, ever happen to you. And we're all thinking of you here
at
Max
absolutely.
Fun World HQ, Oliver. And, of course, Hal, who is... You know, he's at a low point in his career.
Yeah.
And he's just, at this point,
he has to go to Thailand to make a movie. He can't just walk out the door and make a movie.
He's gone from Thailand.
Like Mr. Seth Rogen.
He's gone from doing movies in exotic foreign locales to doing podcasts in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Hal, it was
taking a real slide.
It was a pleasure and a joy to have you on the show today.
Oh, it was a great thrill. And I actually listened to Jordan Jesse Go while in Thailand when I was living in the middle of nowhere for 3 weeks, and it was a little taste of home.
Oh, come on. That's what you like to hear, isn't it?
You live at my house?
I spend afternoons with Coco when you're not around.
Gotcha.
So, he summers here.
Hal, let's just say that someone wants to spend some time with you. They've just heard about your work. Maybe they haven't seen you yet on the Reno 911s or in this popular Spy Kids movie.
Yeah, I'd say a good place to go is funnierdie.com/Hal Rudnick.
Or, there you go.
Yeah, why not? Or go to ucbcomedy.com and search Hal Rudnick. Yeah.
Hal Rudnick. And Rudnick is spelled the traditional way, just like playwright Paul Rudnick.
Exactly. Or the store Rudnick's in Studio City, R-U-D-N-I-C-K.
If you are in the L.A. area, Hal and I have a monthly sketch comedy show that you could come to if you wanted to.
It's called Marvin Berry.
It's called Marvin Berry.
At the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Yes. A fine basket of shows they've been, so yeah.
206-9844-FUN if you have calls for the show. jjgo@maximumfun.org if you want to email us. And our theme music is Love You by The Free Design from their great CD, Kites Are Fun, the best of The Free Design that you should spend a little money on, probably. And we'll see you. Gosh, I won't see you for a month, but Jordan will see you. Well, you got any special guests planned, Jordan?
Yes.
Okay,
I do.
Great.
Oh, do I?
Awesome. Sounds special.
Yeah, what are you doing next week?
Okay, well, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.